In order to understand Romans chapter 8, I realized over the last 3 weeks that it's a complicated chapter, and I had the idea, the fear, that I was complicating it more. So what I want to do today is what I call Tim's remix of chapter 8 in Romans. And what we're going to talk about, and what is the misunderstanding, I think, in the church today, and maybe in your mind, is what part or what place does God's law, the Ten Commandments, what part does that have in our lives today? Are the Ten Commandments, is God's law relative to modern Christianity? And I think there's a tremendous misunderstanding on this. I have often heard Christians say the following phrase, we're no longer under law, we're under grace. Okay, so you've heard that too, maybe you've said it. And actually that is a profound misunderstanding of Scripture and what God is all about and what God's law is all about. Because all of chapter 7 in Romans and a great part of chapter 8 in Romans is Paul explaining this to Christians, to God's people. What relevance does God's law have in our lives today? And we have to understand that before we understand the beauty and what God did through his begotten Son and what Romans, the 8th chapter, says to us about the law and the relevance in our lives. Now, Liz just and Tad just performed this song about God breaking our chains. And, well, that is exquisitely appropriate to the issue that we're going to take on here today. So I'm giving this an introduction before I ask Teresa to come up here and read, because what Teresa is going to read, what I did, and what I'm going to do today, I'm going to start at the beginning of the book and give you a brief synopsis leading up to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to talk about the law of God and how God uses the law. And what you're going to see when Teresa reads this, when things go haywire in God's world, when there's disorder, God combats that with law. God combats it with his word. And you'll see when as Teresa reads this, you'll see the chaos. Then you'll see God countering with his word and his law, and then you'll see the order that comes from that. So on the back of your devotional, you'll see a stream of scriptures. So Teresa, would you why don't you come up here and read that for us, please?
First, from Genesis 1. Verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And God said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You'll eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust." Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. "See, today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. For I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, statutes, and ordinances, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God may bless you in the land you are entering to possess." From John chapter 1, verse 14. the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the flesh, like ours, under sin's domain, and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. May God add a blessing to that reading.
When things get out of order, things break down. Simple. I deal with health. Disease is an organ or a system in our body that has lost normal order. When an organ has the normal order within it, or a system, the respiratory system, or the circulatory system, or the nervous system, when it is in order, it functions as health. When it gets out of order and there's chaos that enters that system, it becomes sick and it becomes diseased, and eventually it dies. So what about, what's that got to do with God's law? And what does it have to do with your life? And how does it help us today? Here's what you need to know about our faith, I think, to understand Romans 8, and that is our faith is not what Paul says this. He says, our faith is not just a grave-tending faith. Our faith is to impact the way we live today and how we interact with people today. And why is that important? Because if we say to people and to the world that our faith saves us from an eternal death, and we do not demonstrate here and now to people that that has an effect, then they are not going to believe the end game. Following? I mean, it should come into our present day in order for the final to be true. So, God's law. God's law was given to humanity in order to take the disordered, messy human condition that sin brings to humanity, ending in death, and to change it into orderly life and peace. God's law takes the disordered, messy lives and changes them into orderly life and peace. God's law saves us from the tyranny of that condemnation. Tracking? Messy lives. Chaos. That's what sin brings into our world. Messiness. Sin is chaotic. Sin brings chaos. Sin has no reason. Sin breaks systems down. And that's why sin ultimately ends in death. And we as a humanoid species, we as humans are trapped, we're trapped under that law, what Paul calls the law of sin and death. We were under the tyranny of that disorganized, messy system. And there was no way out. And God gave his law. So, see, that's the game changer. The equation is a messy human condition over here. And on the other side of that equation is death. The only way to change that equation is to insinuate God's law. When you insinuate God's law into the chaos and into the mess, it turns into orderly life and peace. You think God's law isn't relevant in our lives today? I want you to think about your own life, and I will think about my life, and I will think about the messy chaos that has come into all of our lives when sin enters our life. And then following that, the breakdown of systems, the breakdown of health. God's law actually is an extreme act of love that he gave to humanity. Now, how do I know this? Because this is how God has always worked. See, God has experience with this. God knows this works. We look at Genesis. He's been through this before. God has dealt with disorderly condemnation and chaos before. And we look at Genesis, and we look at Genesis 1, verse 2. And we look at the earth. It was empty. It had no purpose. It was formless. It was chaotic. And God dealt with that how? You see, earth, you could say, was under disorderly condemnation. And God dealt with that disordered condemnation of earth with his word, his law. He spoke. And what happens to earth? The disorder and the chaos becomes orderly life and peace. And God says, it is very good, but I want you to understand the requirement. There was a requirement insinuated on earth and a requirement insinuated on humanity. And that is, in order for the chaos to come, in order for the chaos to be changed into orderly life and peace, there must be submission to his word. You must submit to his word. And when God comes upon the chaotic earth and he sends his word and his law into that earth, he says there is one requirement. Submit. If you submit to my law, on the other side of that, it is very good and it is life and peace. With creation, there was no decision. With creation, the first 5 days, God simply spoke and the created order reacted. God simply spoke and the created order submitted to what God said. You see that? Day six comes along, and God creates humanity. And unlike all of other God's creation, humans are the only ones in all of God's creation that have the ability to not submit to God's word. We are the only ones who can say no to God's voice and to his word. What happens? There was disorder, Genesis 1, 2, God speaks, order comes. So far, so good. Man is created on day six. God gives them the same kind of mandate. God says, you are to listen to my word, you are to follow my law, and if you do so, there will be orderly life and peace. Genesis 3 comes on the scene, and we have the fall. The fall, man decides not to submit to God's law. Man decides not to submit to his word. And what happens? The condemnation, the disordered chaos demonstrated in Genesis 1, 2, returns to earth. Man does not submit to God's law. And the original disorder that we read in Genesis 1, 2 comes back upon the earth. Sin and death come into the world. Only this time, here's the game changer. Only this time, the chaos not only affects the rocks and the trees and the sky and the sea and the animal kingdom. This time, the disordered chaos also affects humanity. Humanity now is subjected to the same condemnation that Genesis 1, 2 started out with. You know what Satan's goal is? And I had a good conversation with Teresa about this last night. And I showed her this verse, and I talked to her about where I was trying to go with this lesson and how to explain God's law and the relevance of God's laws in our lives. And You know, Satan hates God. Satan hates humanity. Satan hates God's creation. And Satan's goal, I understand now, his goal is to get you and me and God's creation back to Genesis 1:2. Satan tries to get me and you back to an empty, dark, no form, no purpose life. And how does he do that? He does it by preventing humanity from submitting to God's law. If he can do that, and that's his supreme effort and goal, he gets you and me back into the disordered mess and the chaos that ensues in humanity when we do not submit to God's law. So the fall occurs. The condemnation returns. Look at the disordered mess there in Genesis 3. Look what God is saying to Adam there in 3:17-19. God is describing that the condemnation, the disordered mess that was there in Genesis 1:2, is now about to return to earth. Because God had it humming. God had it working. God called it very good. God said, this is now orderly life and peace. And man comes along the scene, the first and only one who's able to not submit to God's word, not submit to God's law. You see, in the first 5 days of creation, God simply spoke and it was done. God said, this is the way it's going to be, and the earth responded. The earth submitted. Man comes along the scene. And we don't know how long that period was, because God comes and he creates Adam and Eve, and he says to them, now I give you one law. Here's the law. You are to submit to my word. You are to do what I say. You are to let me be the arbiter and the decider of what is right and what is wrong. And as long as you listen to my law, as long as you listen to my word, things will be very good. The order brought to earth in Genesis 1:2 will continue. And instead of chaos and sin and death and entropy, instead of that, you will have orderly life and peace. And God describes to Adam, because you listened to your wife's voice instead of listening to my voice, what is going to happen here is the condemnation of the disordered chaos is about to return to earth. And guess what, Adam? Not only is it just going to affect the ground and the crops and the moon and the animals, it is also now going to affect you. It is now going to affect relationships. It is now going to affect your health. It is going to affect your body. It's going to affect how you respond to me. The disordered condemnation and chaos returns, the fall, because man did not submit to God's word. What is the problem of sin? Why is sin an issue? Why does sin cause trouble for you and for me? Because sin brings with it disorder and chaos into our lives. And when disorder and chaos come into our lives, the end game is destruction and eventually death. The fall. Man is affected. Once again, God deals with the problem of sin, with the condemnation that comes from sin. How? With his law and with his word. He speaks again, this time at Sinai. He brings the law in Sinai, and he says, if you follow my law, now the condemnation, the disorder that came into my world will be reversed. And instead, you'll have orderly life and peace. But humanity found out, and maybe you find out, that they were unable to submit to God's law. They were unable to do so. And so, the condemnation, the disorder, the chaos, continued because they failed the requirement. There's a requirement to have orderly life and peace. And that requirement, according to God's economy, is that we follow his law. We listen to his word. God created this world. God created humanity. He knows what makes us run perfectly. He knows what brings orderly life and peace. And it is his law. We had a prayer request this morning for our nation. What has happened? Why the chaos? Why the unrest? Why the mess? Why the messy condition that has happened in our nation? God's law. We have shunned God's law. We have shunned God's word. And the result is what we are seeing. Now take this down into our individual lives. Take it into your life. And maybe you struggle with submitting to God's law. If you do, you're in good company with Paul. Paul said in chapter 7, I struggle with this. He said, I find I do what I don't want to do, and I know that God's law is good, and I know that it brings orderly peace into my life, but Paul says, you know, I just don't have the ability to submit to it. I try to, but I just cannot do it. And therefore, Paul continued at that point in his Christian walk. He continued under the condemnation of disorder and chaos and messiness in his life. God deals with the problem of sin once again, a second time, by bringing the law at Sinai. And I want you to look at Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 16 there. And I call this the Deuteronomic choice. Here's what God says to man. See, today I have set before you two possibilities. We have two choices. I have a choice. You have a choice of how to live life now, how to experience life now. Here's what God says. I've set before you two things, life and prosperity or death and adversity. Life and prosperity or death and adversity. For I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, his statutes, and his ordinances, so that, why? So that, why? Why follow God's law? Why submit to him? Why listen to his word? Don't I know what is best for me better than God? Don't I know the way things should be? Shouldn't I set up my own government? No, says God, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God, I want you to circle, may bless you. May bless you in the land you're entering to possess. The requirement here is for us to submit to God's law. That is the choice that God set before his people when he brought them out of slavery, the slavery of sin and death, the condemnation that they were under, the disordered mess of their lives, and he says to them, you got a choice. We have a choice. I have a choice. You can either choose disordered, messy chaos in your life, or you can choose to have orderly life and peace. Now, I'd like to bless you, but I will not. In fact, I cannot bless you if you continue in the disordered, messy, chaotic condition that you're in. How does it feel to you when you do not listen to God's word? How does your life go? How do your relationships go? Do you struggle with that at all? Do you see chaos and messy condemnation creeping into your life? Do you feel your relationships deteriorating? Do you feel your work deteriorating? Do you feel your attitudes deteriorating? And God says then, and God says now, you have a choice. There's no reason for you to be living that way. There's no reason for you to live under the condemnation of Genesis 1, 2 any longer. There's no reason for you to have emptiness. There's no reason for you to have not to have purpose. There's no reason for you to live in this chaos and in this indecisiveness, as these mental mind games that we go through, and the anxiety and the depression and the worry that comes into your life. God says, there's no reason for that. I'm giving you the same Deuteronomic choice today. You can choose orderly life and peace, or you can choose to live, continue to live under chaos and destruction that leads to death. And every single time, what the enemy does to us, what the enemy does to me, is he tries to get me back to Genesis 1, 2. He tries to get our world back to Genesis 1, 2. He tries to get our nation back. He tries to get your marriage back to Genesis 1, 2. Formless, empty, and dark. Because Satan knows God's word brought into that environment. God's word, his law, is what changed that into what God himself called a very good, orderly system that brings life and peace. I'm talking about the way we live day to day. I'm talking about the battle that every one of us face every single day. I'm talking about the Deuteronomic choice that I have to make every single day. And that choice is this: do I want to have continued chaos and darkness and emptiness in my life? What do I represent to my wife? What do I represent to my children? And what do I represent to the world? Because what I'm showing them is which voice I'm listening to. What I'm showing them powerfully and irresistibly is whether I am submitting to God's word and to God's law or whether I'm not. Because your thinking, your actions, your walk, the way you are day to day is showing the world what you're submitting to. It becomes quite a struggle sometimes. How about you? It becomes such a struggle for me to every day submit myself to the word and law of God. And I've got to tell you something. There's only one way that this happens in my life. Only one way. Yes, I'm going to beat this drum again. And that is, I need to expose myself. Maybe it's optional for you. For me, it is not optional. I absolutely need to expose myself every single day to the Word of God. Every single day, several times a day. Now, maybe that's a foible in my life. Maybe I am spiritually inferior because I need that. I don't know, but I'm telling you, that's what I need. Because when I see Genesis 1, 2, and I see Genesis 3, I can see the game changer there. Because as long as God's voice and his word was hovering over the surface of a chaotic world, hovering over, had not yet insinuated itself in, earth remained formless, empty, void, chaotic, dark. It was only in Genesis 3. You see that in Genesis 1, 3? What happens? God speaks, and his law and his word entered the fray. I'm going to invite you to let God's word enter the fray of your life. There is no other way. There is no other way for us to live an orderly life that brings life and peace absent submission to God's word. Every single day. Several times a day. If I don't expose myself, and if I don't let God's word to insinuate into my world, how are you doing with that, by the way? Well, be honest about it. How are you doing with it? Is God's word a mainstay in your life? Is study of Scripture a mainstay of your life? And then the follow-up question to that is this. How are you doing without it? Which of these two scenarios fits your life more closely? Dark, empty, chaos, messy, or orderly life and peace? Orderly life and peace that can be experienced now. You see, that's the choice. God gave those people in Deuteronomy. He says, I'm giving you two choices here. And he says later in that passage, he says, I'm inviting you to choose life. But again, the requirement has to be met. And what is the requirement? Submit to his word. We are the only thing in God's creation that cannot submit to God's word. And when that happened, and it supremely did happen in Genesis chapter 3, when man decided to exercise their right, and you and I still have that same right today, to deny and not allow God's word to penetrate their lives, everything, the condemnation returned. The tyranny returned. I like that term. The tyranny. The tyranny of messy lives. The tyranny of chaos. the tyranny that the enemy tries to bring into our lives, and he does this by keeping us away from God's word. Why come to church? Why is it important to be here in this little church on Possum Run Road here in Newville this morning? Why? Because if there's no other time during the week, and I'm not assuming anything about your lives, look, I know you're busy. We're busy. I know that. But I have learned something. My busyness becomes chaotic busyness. My busyness becomes overwhelmingly fatiguing to me unless I, as I said when I talked about the prayer, I have rededicated time in my life to have a segregated time of prayer every day, and it has been wonderful. I have a segregated time in my life where I study Scripture every single day, and it has been wonderful. And when I miss that, and when I don't submit to God's Word, and when I start to be pulled back to Genesis 1-2, which, I'll tell you what, in my life supremely, the enemy never tires of trying to get me back to that state. How about you? So God gives the law at Sinai, and he tells them to submit. He tells them, you got a requirement. Submit to my law. And if you do, the condemnation will end. Well, the second time God gave the law, man discovered again. Now, there's hope in this message if you struggle with this. And I think you do. There's hope here if you struggle submitting to God's word, if you have trouble submitting to his law, if you have chaos in your life, if you have a messy situation in your life. Let me tell you, there is no messy situation in our lives that when it is exposed to the word of God, that can't become orderly, peaceful life. Could we serve a God like that? And the answer is yes, we do. God gives the law again, only humanity finds that they are unable to submit to that law, and therefore the condemnation continues. And that brings us, which we will not go into, that brings us up to Romans 8 and how God dealt with that situation and how Paul can make the statement, the very first statement that Paul makes in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, key in. There is, Paul says, now, in the present, no more condemnation for God's people that they have to live under the tyranny of this disordered, messy life of not submitting to God's word. You can even now, in the present, Paul says, live an orderly life of life and peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us the ability, Lord. You would meet the requirement that we would submit to your word and to your law and experience life and peace today. Amen.